Just give me a signal with your hand. Today's shiur is a Masechta Menachos on Daf Samech Gimel. We will begin at the top of the Amud with the Mishnah. The Torah in Vayikra Beis discusses five types of Menachos which can be brought as a Nedava. And on this Amud, we're going to have in the two Mishnahs that are on this Amud, three of those five Menachos. In the first Mishnah, we're going to be learning about the Minchas Machvas and Marcheshes, which are both fried in various kinds of pans. Exactly what the difference between Machvas and Marcheshes is, we will find out in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, it's Machloikis Tanoim. And in the second Mishnah, towards the bottom of the Amud, we will be discussing the Mincha of Mafei Taner, which is not fried in a pan like the first two Machvas and Marcheshes, but rather it is baked in an oven. The Pasuk, which discusses Machvas and Marcheshes, is found in Vayikra Beis Pasuk Hei, and the Pasuk states, Ve'im Mincha ala Machvas Korbanecha, if you're going to have a Mincha on this griddle, as we will soon explain, Soilus Bulub HaShemen, it should start out with Shemen, Matzois Tia, Pasois HaSopitim, you should break it into pieces, and then V'yotzakta Ole HaShemen, and then you should pour oil on top of it. And later in Pasuk Zayin, it says, "Vin minchas marcheshes korbanecha," if your korban is in a marcheshes keli, then soilus b'shemen teyasa. You should make it, it's going to be fried in this marcheshes pan, and it should be mixed together with oil. Not oil on top of it, as in the case of machvas, but oil mixed into the flour. That is the minchas marcheshes. And now begins the Mishnah. If somebody made a neder that he's going to bring a machvas to the Beis HaMikdash, so he should not bring a marcheshes. Although they are both similar, they are fried in a pan. However, since the kalim are different kind of kalim, therefore, if a person says machvas, he shouldn't bring marcheshes. And likewise, the Mishnah continues, b'marcheshes lo yavi b'machvas. If he made a neder to bring a minchas marcheshes, he should not bring it in a machvas. Ask the Mishnah, ma bein machvas and marcheshes, since they're both frying pans, what in fact is the difference between a machvas and a marcheshes? And the Mishnah answers, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, marcheshes yesh lo kisui, our marcheshes has a cover, and machvas ain lo kisri, machvas has no cover. Divri Rabbi Yossi Haglili. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Haglili. According to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, it is not like we're going to learn in a moment from Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel that it's dependent on the depth of the keli. Rather, the depth is no issue whatsoever. It could be deep, it could be not deep. That doesn't make the difference between machvas and marcheshes. The only difference is it covered? Then it's a marcheshes, but if it's not covered, then it's a machvas. However, Rav Chanina ben Gamliel disagrees. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, Eimer, marcheshes amuka. The marcheshes is a deep pot, and umaseh reichshin, that which is made, the mincha that's made in the marcheshes, it quivers. As Rashi explains, the top Rashi, shehakli amuk, v'hoya kol Hashem b'makam echad, all the oil was in one place. When a person placed his finger on the mincha, nod hashemen b'saicha. So it was like spongy, and it moved around because it was saturated with oil. The way the pot was made, it was a deep frying pan, and it was the oil gathered together, as Rashi says, in one place. It was not easy for the fire to burn off the oil, so the mincha was saturated with oil, which gave it its spongy texture, its soft texture, and therefore, when someone would touch it, it would move around. As Rashi, the next Rashi says, marcheshes is lashon remesh, the targumin in Russian, the targum of the word romes, that it's a insect which is creeping around, is instead of the mem, there's a ches. That's where the marcheshes comes from a creeping type of thing. In other words, it quivers when you touch it. However, the next word, rakin, is taken out, and machvas is safa. It is floating, as Rashi says, from the Lashon, safa pnei amayim, something that floats. We find in the Gemara in Shabbos of Hey Amid Beis that something was floating on top of the water. What's the idea that it's floating? Because a machvas, according to Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, does not have depth. It has no walls. And therefore, it's a griddle, a flat griddle. And therefore, the oil spreads out all over the griddle. It's easily burnt off by the fire. And as a result, umaseh koshin. And as a result, that mincha, which is made in the machvas, is very hard because it doesn't have a lot of oil. So it's not soft, like it doesn't quiver and spongy texture as the mincha that's made in the machashas. Rather, it is hard. So learns Rashi. However, the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayis, and also in Perek Yud Beis of Maisa HaKarbonis, he learns differently. In other words, according to Rashi, the keli is what causes the softness or the hardness. If you have a deep keli, the oil can gather together, and therefore the dough is saturated with oil, it's soft. However, if you have a flat griddle, then the oil gets burnt off, and what the mincha that's made on that griddle is hard because it doesn't have much oil. However, according to the Rambam, it's the opposite. According to Rashi, they're both batters, and one turns out soft, one turns out hard. According to the Rambam, only one is like a soft batter, and that is the marcheshes, because since the marcheshes is deep and it has walls, we're not worried about the batter flowing over and falling on the ground. It's contained within the deep walls of the marcheshes, and as a result, we can put in a lot of water, according to the Rambam, in this dough. And that the fact that it has a lot of water in it will give it a spongy texture. Mashiyin came by the machvas. Since the keli is flat, if you're going to put a watery dough in it, it's going to spill and run over. Therefore, they gave very little water in this dough. And as a result, since there was not much water in it, on the machvas, it became hard. So it's not a result of the keli, as Rashi learns, but it's a result. Are you putting in a watery batter dough in a marcheshes, which makes it soft? Or is it not like a batter? You're starting off with a hard texture to begin with. Otherwise, it's going to spill over. And that's why, according to the Rambam, it was hard as a result of the amount of water that you put in, not because there was no oil, like Rashi learns, and therefore it turned out hard. This is a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam, but the bottom line is that according to both Rashi and the Rambam, a marcheshes is a muka, amaisa, rochikshin, and a machvas is safo, it's floating, there is no walls, umaseh koshin, and as a result, the mincha in it is hard. Ask the Gemara, my time of the Rabbi Yossi. What's the reason of Rabbi Yossi that he is of the opinion that a marcheshes has a cover and a machvas has no cover? Answers the Gemara, if you're going to tell me that it has to do with the etymology of the words, the origin of these words of machvas and marcheshes, let's see if that holds out. Ilema marcheshes. The word marcheshes means the asya. It is coming, the mincha that's brought in the marcheshes is coming as a kapora. Arechushe halev, Rashi, the words in Rechushe halev, Rashi says, is hearer, avera, that a person had a thought to do an avera. In other words, it would mean that Rechushe halev, as he brings down the pasuk, kidichsev, rochash libi dover toiv, my heart was aroused. It had thoughts, it had concealed, hidden thoughts, which are not verbalized there in that pasuk in Tehillim, to do something good. However, where it's being brought to be mechaper, there the thoughts, unfortunately, were not good thoughts. As Rashi says here, hurei avera, and the person was bringing this nedava in order to be mechaper on those here, hurei avera. So it would come out that the word marcheshes has to do with rechushe halev, hirurim of arousing thoughts, detrimental thoughts of the heart, and therefore, since those are hidden, therefore Macheshes would have a kisui. Umachlas, and the opposite, what about a machlas? The asya, what is the person bringing that mincha for? Amachbue hapeh. That is coming on the utterances, that those words that were emitted verbally and in public, they're not hidden, because that's the machlas, has no cover on it, it's also revealed and not hidden. Kidamri Inshi, as people say, Minabach Nebuche, that there are utterings of, he's letting out sounds. Minabach Nebuche, from that comes the word machmas. That's the etymology of the word machmas, if you're going to say such an explanation, and that would explain Rabbi Yossi, why Marcheshes has a kisui, a machmas doesn't have a kisui. Eime Ifcha, I could tell you the etymology is just the opposite. Machvas. The asya amachbuy alev, the machvas is coming on the secret thoughts of the heart, the chsiv, lama nechbeis elvroyach, why did you flee in secrecy? So we see it comes from the word hiding, that could be the origin of machvas, machbuy alev, the secret thoughts of the heart. So machvas would have a covering according to this. And marcheshes, the asya, it's coming, arechushe, it's coming on the movements of the lips, Kiriamri and Shias, people say, have a Mirachshin Sufsase. His lips were moving and they were saying words. And that's what he's getting a kapor on. So according to this, the etymology of the word Marcheshes is not something hidden, but rather it's the movements of his mouth, which is revealed. Then Marcheshes wouldn't have a cover. So if you're basing, if Rabbi Yossi is basing his whole pshat on the origin of the words, I could go either way. I could say machvas is covered or machvas is not covered. I could say marcheshes is covered, or I could say that marcheshes is covered. Ella says the Gemara, Gemara Gemiri law, this was a Kabbalah. Rabbi Yossi had a Kabbalah, as the Gra, the Vilna Gaon says, that there was a Kabbalah that even though you could explain the origin of the words machvas and marcheshes either way, but the Kabbalah was to explain it the way Rabbi Yossi explained it, namely that the Marcheshes is the item which is Rechushe Halev, the arousing evil thoughts of the heart, and the Machvas is uncovered because it's referring to Menabech Nebuche, the utterances of the mouth which are revealed, and it has no cover. Continues the Gemara, Rav Chanina ben Gamliel Loimer, Rav Chanina ben Gamliel tells us that it has nothing to do with a cover, but rather it has to do whether the marcheshes is a muka, deep, or the machvas is a griddle, flat, and not deep. Where does Rav Chanina ben Gamliel get his idea of machvas and marcheshes? Marcheshes, a muka, he gets it from the pasuk, which speaks about machvas and marcheshes. A marcheshes is deep, because the pasuk says, v'chol nasa b'marcheshes. It's being done in a marcheshes. How is it being done in a marcheshes as opposed to on a marcheshes? Because a marcheshes has depth, it has walls. So that's why this mincha is being done in the marcheshes. Machvas tzofa, machvas is floating on top, it's on the griddle, it's flat. Dechsev v'al machvas. The same pasuk tells us in Vayikra Zayin, Pasuk test, v'chol mincha sher te'ofe bataner, v'chol nase b'marcheshes, v'al machvas. By the machvas, it's not in the machvas, because it can't be in the machvas doesn't have any walls, it's not amuk. It's on top, it's flat, that's why the word is al, on the machvas. That's where Rav Chanina ben Gamliel gets his pshat. Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan learned. We're going to now have a machloikis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, negeya to the kalim of the machvas and the marcheshes. Beis Shammai Oimer. Ho Oimer harei olai marcheshes. A person made a netter and he said, I am going to donate to the Beis Hamikdash a marcheshes. Yehei munach ad sheyavi Eliyahu. His netter should remain until Eliyahu comes. Eliyahu will tell us how he is supposed to fulfill his netter. We have a suffix. What is the suffix of Beis Shammai? Why is it not clear what he meant? Mesafkelu, because Beis Shammai have a suffix, e al shum keli nikru. When we have a mincha called minchas machvas, or we have a mincha called minchas marcheshes, is that mincha called on the name of the keli? Because there were two kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. One was a machvas keli, and one was a marcheshes keli. So when the person said, Hare Olei Marcheshes, he didn't say, Bimarcheshes. That would have indicated, I want a mincha that's made in a marcheshes. It has walls, it has depth, I want it in the marcheshes. I want a mincha. He didn't say, Minchas Marcheshes. That would be clear that he means a mincha. Rather, he just used the word marcheshes. So Beis Shammai says maybe he's only referring to the keli. If he really wanted a mincha, he'd have to either say bimarcheshes, as Rashi explains, or minchas marcheshes. So if it's ashum kli nikru, then harei olai marcheshes, he would have to give a marcheshes, not a mincha. He'd have to donate the keli itself. Oy ashum maseha. Or really, perhaps there was no keli called marcheshes or machvas, but rather marcheshes, minchas marcheshes meant a quivering, moving, soft mincha, which, when, as Rashi explained, when you touch it, it creeps around like an insect. It quivers around. A machvas is hard. It doesn't quiver. So that's the name, Minchas Marcheshes, not on the keli, but rather it has to do with the consistency of the dough that's being used for the mincha. And then, if he said, Harei Olai Marcheshes, he meant not a keli. Perhaps there wasn't even a keli called Marcheshes. He means the mincha itself. So we have a suffix. That's why Beis Shammai Shita is, Harei Elu Yeimunach HaShiyavi Eliyo. And Be'emes, it would seem from Rashi, that Rashi says that the suffix, Rashi divra maschel mesafkaluhu, Rashi says, I al shem kelion nikru, machvas umarcheshes. Even though the Gemara's shaila is ha'oim or rei olai marcheshes, it's not only a shaila bar marcheshes, the same shaila would be if he would say, ha'rei olai machvas. Does he mean the keli, or does he mean what is fried on top of the machvas, referring to the mincha? It would be the same suffix. So this is the shita of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel and Beis Hillel disagree, and they say it's clear what he meant. Since he didn't say b'marcheshes, he didn't say minchas marcheshes, what he meant is the keli. He wants to donate a keli called marcheshes to the Beis HaMikdash. Beis Hillel Oymerim, kli hoye b'migdash. There was a keli in the Migdash, u'marcheshes shema, and its name was marcheshes. V'doima, and it is compared, this pan, this frying pan was like kimin klabus, amuk, a deep klabus. Now, what is a klabus? So Rashi says, glun. Glun is the old French word for tongs. And this picture that we have in Rashi, where he says kozeh, the Achronim say that it seems that this picture is a mistake. Because this frying pan, the klabus, which, by the way, the Mesoris Hashas in Sifkot Dalet tells us, kli shel gimel regolim. It was a keli that had 3 feet to it, this keli. But how did it look? So Rashi here gives us, in the picture that we have, that the Achraim say is incorrect, a round keli. And in the round keli, there were, in the picture of Rashi here, we have 7 small forms, small holes that were in the keli. The holes that Rashi shows us is a very good picture of what the holes were. The shape in each of these holes, he would put another one of the chalos matzos that were made in the marcheshes, and they took a round shape. In fact, the Gemara goes on to say, how did they look? Ukeshebetzek, when the dough was munach b'toichoy, was in this kalabus, doime kemin tapucha beresim, they were like the beresi apples, round in shape. They had to make 10 of these for one mincha, and therefore they had to mass produce them, not one at a time, but several at a time. Ukemin palute ayuvanim, they looked also like acorns of the Greek oak. So the shape, the form that Rashi brings us of the 7 chalois that were being made in this kalabus, in this glun, are correct. However, it was not circular, but rather, we have a better picture in the Shita Mekubetzes in Oishchof, kazeh, he apparently, the sheet is changing. He's going on this Rashi, where Rashi says kazeh, in Rashi Divra Masel Kolabos, and he says that picture is not correct, but rather it's a picture which has, which is in the form of a round, although here it's rectangular, but it has a wall on the outside, has a wall on the inside, and where it says avir space, that is the area where the forms for the chalois of the marcheshes were placed. However, I believe that the best form can be found in the art scroll, and I received permission from art scroll. What I'm going to show our viewing public now is reproduced from the Schottenstein edition of the Talmud with permission of the copyright holders, Art Scroll Masorah Publications Limited, and it is taken from the Art Scroll 63A2, footnote 18. And one of our graphic artists here at the OU produced it perhaps even a little clearer. We see here the form, here's the handle, and here we have a U-shaped form. It looks like tongs. This was the Marcheshes. It has walls. It has depth. And here we find, here we have a picture of six forms in which the chalois that were being made, which were made out of matzah, had this round circular shape. Again, they were soft, as we learned before. They were roichashin. And this is the word Marcheshes. Here's the oil gathered in the walls of the Marcheshes. And they put in the walls, in this area, space between the walls on either side, they were able to put these doughs and mass produce the Minchas Marcheshes. So I think this picture gives us a very clear, and otherwise someone can look it up in the art scroll, as we said, which is in 63A2, footnote 18, and we will you'll see clearly how the Kaylee called the Marcheshes exactly was shaped. Continues the Gemara. Ve'oimer, and the Beis Hillel bring a proof again from the Pasuk concerning Marcheshes and Machvas, because the Pasuk says, Ve'chol nase bim Marcheshes, Ve'al Machvas, as we explained before, it's being done in a Marcheshes because the Marcheshes has depths of walls. And it's being done on a Machvas because the Machvas has no walls. And therefore we see that it's referring to the Keli. It's being done in the Marcheshes. Not that the Maseha, the way the Mincha comes out, is soft and that's why it's called Marcheshes. No, there was a Keli called Marcheshes and this Mincha was being done in that Marcheshes. As opposed to the Machvas, it was being done on that Machvas. Alma al Shuma Kalim Nikru. Therefore, we see the Mincha was called not by its Maseh, but rather it was being called based on the name of the Kalim. Veloy al Shum Maseh, not because of how they were made. And in fact, the Halacha is like Beis Hillel. It's not Yemuna Chachiyav Elio will tell us which way to do as Beis Shammai suggests, but rather the Halacha is like Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel, rather, that if somebody says Marcheshes, and didn't say bimarcheshes or minchas marcheshes. What he means is not a mincha. He means a keli, and he has to donate this keli into the for the Beis Hamikdash. Continues the next Mishnah. Our next Mishnah is discussing the third minchas nedava that we're going to discuss on this Amud, and that is the mincha of machvas taner, something that's baked in an oven, as opposed to machvas or marcheshes, which are fried in a pan. And also as opposed to mincha soilas, where it's flour and the kmitza is done before the baking, here in a machvas taner it's first baked, and then it is broken up into small pieces, and then kmitza is made, and there's actually two types of minchas mafe taner. One is chalos belulis b'shemen, where the chalos are mixed up with oil together, and the second one is rikike matzah, wafers of matzah, meshuchim b'shemen, which have oil that is smeared on top of them. Begins the Mishnah. Harei olai. If somebody says, bitaner. He didn't even say the word mafe. He just said, I'm going to bring something bitaner. Lo yave mafe kupach. He should not bring something that's based in a kupach. The difference between a taner and a kupach is that a taner was very wide. It's an oven that was wide on the bottom. It became narrower on top. There was place on top for two pots to cook food, and they used to bake bread since it retained heat very well in this taner. On the walls of the taner inside, they used to bake bread. A kupach is narrow all the way through. It also retains heat. It only has room on top for one pot to cook, and you were able to bake bread on the walls of the kupach. However, if somebody said bitaner, he should not bring a mincha baked in a kupach. This is the shita of the Tanakhama. We're going to see the Rabbi Yehuda in the next line disagrees and says, Ratza mevi mafa kupach. He could bring a mafa kupach because Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that a kupach is also considered a taner. Now, the Achronim point out that even if somebody didn't use the word tanur, if somebody said, harele mafe, I want to bring something baked. So, according to the Tanakhama, you have to bring it from a taner. When the Torah only spoke about mafe taner, and the Tanakhama holds that a kupach is not considered a taner. And yet, from our mission, it would be mashma, he can't bring a kupach if he said taner, even if he didn't use the word taner. Harele mafe. Mafe means in a taner, and it doesn't mean a kupach. So the Svas Emes says that the reason the Mishnah stated it this way is to teach a chiddush in Rabbi Yehuda. That Rabbi Yehuda says you can use a kupach not only if he said mape, but even if he said taner, because Rabbi Yehuda said kupach is considered like a taner. But ein echanami, according to Rabbanan, who say it's only good a taner, it wouldn't make a difference whether he said harei alai b'taner, or even if he said a reale mape, he could only use a tana and not a taner and not a kupa. The Chazoinish says, he agrees with the Sfas Emes, that even if he said a reale mape, according to the Tanakhama, he can only use a taner and not a kupa. The reason it put it in this way is to be symmetrical with the previous Mishnah. Just like the previous Mishnah says, if you said machvas, don't bring macheshes. If you said macheshes, don't bring machvas. Huadin, the same is over here. If you said taner, don't bring kupach according to the Tanakhama. Continues the Tanakhama. Also, v'lo mape ra'afim, and also do not bring something that was baked in earthenware tiles which were heated in a furnace, as the Rav explains. That's also not considered a taner. And also don't bring it umape yoris ar voyim, the cauldrons, the deep pots of the Arabs, where they also used to bake bread on the heated walls of the pot. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos learns differently. It was a pit. They used to put clay in the pit, which was heated until it became glowing, and on those clay walls in the pit, they used to bake the bread. But either way, that is not considered a taner. And here, Rabbi Yehuda agrees. Rabbi Yehuda is only arguing by kupach, but he agrees that ra'afim and yoris arvim are not good. Rabbi Yehuda Omer rotza mevi mape kupach. He could bring the mape kupach, but Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the other two, ra'afim and yoris arvim, you cannot bring. Now says the Tanakhama, harei olai minchas mape lo yavi machzeh chalos u'machzeh rekikin. We said that in minchas mape taner there are two types that the Torah allows. One is a chalis belulois b'shemen that have oil mixed into the chalis. The other is rekike matzah meshuchim b'shemen, wafers that have the oil on top. Now you're supposed to bring 10. Could I bring 5 from one kind, 5 from the other? So the Tanakhama says no. Lo yavi machzeh chalis machzeh rekike. You're not allowed to. That would be considered like you're bringing two korbanos. Rabbi Shimon Matir mipneishu korban echad. Rabbi Shimon says no. It's considered one korban. And you could bring 5 of each. The exact machlaik is between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. We're going to see explained in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. The Rabbanan learned, Mape Taner, V'loy Mape Kopach, V'loy Mape Roth, and V'loy Mape Yaris Harvoyim. As we learned in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama excludes all these other three types of baking bread. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Taner, Taner, Shtei Pum. It says two times the word Taner. One time in Vayikra Beis Dalid, the second time in Tzav, Vayikra Zion Tess. In Vayikra Beis Dalid, it says, V'chi Sakriv Korban Minchas Mafe Taner. And in Tzav, it says, V'chol Mincha Asher Te'ofer Bat Taner. So it says Taner two times. Why does it say it two times? L'hachshir Mape Kupach. To say that Mape Kupach is acceptable. Now, the way we have it in Rashi, Rashi says, V'ein ribui achar ribui ela lemayet. And the way the Bach says it is, the Shita tells us that these words are nimchak. However, the Bach tells us in Ois Dalet what the correct Girsa should be, V'ein miut achar miut ela lerabois. That each word taner is trying to tell us only a taner and not other things. For example, not the heated tiles and not the pit, according to the Rambam Shita. All these things are no good. We're memayed it with the word taner, but if you have two miyutim, one miyut after the other, ena el rabbis. What's it marba? According to the Shita of the Tanakhama, it is marba. According to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, it's Marber Mape Kupach, that's also considered a Taner. However, Rab Shimon disagrees. Rab Shimon Omer, Taner, Taner, Shnei Pamim, Echad Shetef Yasim a Taner. One is that you should bake it in a Taner. The Echad, the second Taner, is not Marbe Kupach, but rather Sheyehei Hegdeshan Betaner. That when he was Magdish, the flower, that had the flower had on it a Kedushas Pep. It had an oral Kedusha, but that's only a Kedusha's Damim. There would not be any din of Yaitzei. There would, certain Hilchas Tumah would not apply. You would be able to be paid it if it only has a monetary value. However, once it is baked in the oven has a din of a Kli Shoreis, and the oven is Mekadesh it and gives it a Kedusha's Haguf. That's how the Gemara understood now in the Havamina the words of Rab Shimon. Ve'echot she'eh hegdeshim betaner, not to be marba kopach, but to be magdishet kedushas agov in the taner. Ask the Gemara, umi yisleil Rab Shimon hai svara. Does Rab Shimon have this svara? That what? That taner is makadesh. What tonight? We learned in a Mishnah. Rab Shimon Oimer, lo'oilam aviragul loimer. A person should always be used to saying that shtei alechem alechem upon him, which are two types of menachas, kisheris ba'azara, they're kosher to bake them in the azara, uksheris ba'beis pagi. They're also kosher in beis pagi. Beis pagi was a wall outside the azara, or it was a wall outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, but certainly outside of the azara. You could bake it over there, said Rab Shimon. And Tosis in Divrei Maskil, Uksheris HaBeis Pagi, tells us that we see clearly from the Gemara that even though we're talking about here Minchas Mafe Taner, the Gemara is Medame one Mincha to another. If we see that the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem upon him can be baked outside of the Azor in the Beis Pagi, so we have somehow a Raya, and there's going to be a various shitas in the Rishonim what the Raya is, but we have somehow a Raya that it couldn't be that the oven is Mekadesh at Kedusha Saguf. Why not? Says Rashi, because the E in two lines from the bottom of Rashi, the E Salkedatach Taner Mekadesh, if Slubi Yaitzeh. If you're going to say that the Taner is Mekadesh, so they're now outside of the Azor in the Beis Pagi, so there would be a psul of Yaitzeh. So it must be that the oven is not Mekadesh. How could Rab Shimon say that that the second time it says Taner is to tell you Shehei Egdeshim B'Taner? However, Tosfos over here quotes what he said earlier in the Masechta on Daf Tes, that a Kli Shoreis doesn't make a psul of Yaitzeh. For example, here, it could be that the psul of Yaitzi only happens later after the Mafe Taner is broken down, and made into small pieces, and there is kemitza done, then there would be a psul of yaitze. So what does our Gemara mean? So if you look in the Shita, in Ois Chav Zayin, so the Shita says, Nehei dein mifsul b'yaitze, like Taisa says, and we call makim b'ginai hu hadavar, l'hoitzi chutz, l'azor l'chatchila, u l'afoisei chutz l'chaima. If it has, in fact, a kedush taguf, there's no isser of yaitze, but it would not be proper respect for the hegdish to bake it outside. It would be a gnai. So learns the Shita. However, if you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, in the second last line on the Amid, so he learns a different shot. The East Sphere Le Bina de Lagashinu Tanner, Hey Hank Sharon Bechutz, Hakaimalan de Ain Kayla Makachin Bechutz. You're saying that it needs the hegdish of a klisharis. But we have a rule, you're trying to tell me that Tanner has a din of a klisharis to be Makadesh. We have a rule that you cannot be Makadesh in a klisharis outside of the base of Migdash. So, that's your problem. If it's mutter in the base pagi, and the oven is a klisharis to Makadesh, it can't be Makadesh outside. So learns Rabbeinu Gershon. But whatever pshat we learn here in the Rishayim, we have a raya that Rabbi Shimon holds that the oven is not Makadesh. So if so, what did Rabbi Shimon mean when he said, Ve'echot she'i hegdeshon betaner? Amar Rava eima she'i hegdeshon l'shum taner. It means that when he sets aside the second last line of Rashi, Divrei Maskil Hashem Tanur, Shekir Sheyikadishen, L'soilus Yoimer Amanas, Lafoisa Betanur Ani Magdisha, that when he makes the oral hegdish of the soilus, he should say, where do I want to bake it? I want to bake it in a tanur. And the Rabbeinu Gershon, at the last word in the Rabbeinu Gershon, V'loi, as we turn to Amid Beis, b'makam acher. He means to say, or he should verbalize it, I want a bedafkin, the tanner, I don't want it to be baked anywhere else. Apparently, Reb Shimon is learning from the second tanner that the Torah is makbid, that he makes such a statement when he makes the oral hegdish of the soilus for the minchas mafei tanner. Continues the Gemara on the next part of the Mishnah. He shouldn't, the Tanakhama holds that he shouldn't bring five from Chalois, Belulois Beshemin, and five from the wafers Rikikin. He has to either bring 10 from one or 10 from the other. Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan learned, explaining this Pasuk, V'chi Sakriv, we interpret Kishetakriv Lasis Dvar HaRishus. There's no chayva. We're talking about a minchas nedava to bring mape taner. Then the pasuk continues. Korban mincha. The Torah calls it a korban. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Menai yiloy marei alai minchas mape. Shalo yavi machza chalei. So machza rikikin. How do I know you shouldn't bring five of each? Tamaloymer, the pasuk says, korban mincha. How do I darshan it? Korban echad amarti lach v'loy shnayim v'shloshe korbanos. I told you one korban and not two or three korbanos. If you look on Amid Beis in the Rabbeinu Gershon, the second line says Rabbeinu Gershon, kloymer, korban echad mi min echad yavi, minchas mafe v'loy shnayim, v'mo yamevi machza chalos, machza rikikin, hoya beis korbanos. So Rabbi Yehuda says that since the Torah used the word korban, it meant to say that you have to bring one korban. If you're going to bring from Beluleis B'Shem, you're going to bring Rikikin, that's not like one korban, that's like two korbanis, that is not acceptable. Amar Lo Reb Shimon, as we turn to Samach Gimel Amid Beis, V'chi Ne'emar Korban Korban Shnei Pamim, as Rashi explains, does it then say the word korban two times? It only says the V'Lo Lo Ne'emar Ela Korban, it only uses the word korban, and we interpret it to mean Echad, that it's one korban, it's not two korbanis. If it would say, Reb Shimon says just the opposite. By the fact that the Torah gave you two options, one is a wafer, and one is a dough that was bolul b'shemen, chalois matzis bolulois b'shemen, and yet the Torah calls it one korban, so therefore I see both together are also called one korban. They're not divided. And therefore I really have three options, says Reb Shimon. V'nemer boy chalos rikikin. Even though it calls it one korban, it still gives you two options of chalos rikikin. So really, I have three options. Me'ata. Now I could say, ratzel havi chalos maybe. If I want to bring 10 chalos, belulis b'shemen, I could bring them. Rikikin, I want to bring 10 wafers and smear on top of its oil, maybe. And if I want to bring machzeh chas and machzeh rekikin, maybe I can bring it. And what do I do then? Uboilulon, I mix them all together. As Rashi says, I grind them up, the fourth line of Rashi. Poitutun and ma'arvan, I mix them up. Ad shemachziron l'salt, and I bring them back to their original flour. As so fine do I ground it up. Then I mix it together with oil. Uboilulon, he mixes them together. The koimetz mishneim, and then he makes kmitza from both. Now this Rashi that we just learned is very difficult. The Ravelvel Brisker, Zitzal, the Griz Halevi, first of all asks that the simple pshat, why you have to grind it up, is that even though we're permitting five from each one, it's necessary to grind them all together so that the kmitz is made from all of them together, mixed up together. But it has nothing to do with shemen. In fact, it would be a problem with the oil. Rashi seems to say you're mixing it up so you could put shemen on it. One of these, mix them up with shemen. One of them is b'lulos b'shemen. The chalis b'lulos b'shemen. But the rekikim are not supposed to be b'lulos b'shemen. They're supposed to have shemen on top of them. So what would be the pshat that you're mixing the rekikim with the chalis b'lulos b'shemen and putting more oil in to mix it all up? So, in fact, the Sefer Taras HaKadosh says that the word shemen in Rashi is a mistake. Take out the word shemen. So we took out the word shemen. We have answered that kasha. However, the Griz Halevi has another kasha. Rashi says, what do? You grind it up fine until the soilus. And he quotes the Gemara further in Daf Ayin Hey. But if you look in Daf Ayin Hey, you'll find that really it's machlokes between Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel and Reb Shimon. And Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, as Rashi quotes, says you break it down until you get soilus back, fine flour. However, Reb Shimon, and we're discussing Reb Shimon here in our sugya. This is the sheet of Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon himself holds you don't break it down to soilus, you only break it down to kizasim. So why does Rashi quote the Gemara 9? Hey, of soilus, the Griz Halevi remains with a tzorich ian on this difficult question. The Gemara continues, what do you do after you ground it up and mixed it together, v'kaimitz mishneim, he makes kmitza from both of them, v'imkometz v'ola b'yadim me'echad al shneim yatzah. What happens if after he mixed it all up? But when he made the kmitza, it came out that the kmitza was all from chalis b'lulos b'shemen, or it was all from the rekikin. Since we consider it, according to Reb Shimon, all is one big korban, it doesn't matter if it winds up all from one or the other, it's all considered one korban, he's yatzah. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, agrees, as Rashi says, with his father on Amud Aleph, that you cannot bring five rekikim and five b'lulos b'shemen. It's either 10 of one, 10 of the other. But he doesn't learn it from the word korban. As his father did, he learns it from another source. And the Gemara later, at the end of the last line of this perek, the Gemara is going to explain what is the difference between Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and his father, Rabbi Yehuda. Well, let's first see what Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda holds. How do I know that my father's sheet is correct? That you shouldn't bring five from one and five from the other. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, v'chol mincha she'tafeh b'taner. Every mincha that you will bake in a taner. V'chol nasev b'marchesha. So we first spoke about mape taner. Then we spoke about fried in a frying pan. In a marcheshes, v'al machvas, or on a machvas, la'koyin ha'makrovoy say loisi, it should belong to the koyin. Then the pasuk continues, v'chol mincha belulu b'shem v'charev, whether it has oil or whether it's dry, it's a minchas chaytid that has no oil. L'chol b'nei aron, it belongs to the b'nei aron. So now I make a drasha. Mav, just like v'chol amr l'mata. In the last two v'chols, where we were speaking about machvas and marcheshes, or when we were speaking about belulus v'shemen and chareva. So there we were clearly speaking about shnei mina chaluk, and there were two separate types, machvas versus marcheshes, or belulus v'shemen versus chareva. So af v'chol amr l'mala, the first v'chol mincha she'tehaf b'taner, the mincha mafetaner, that is not one shnei mina chalukin. The rekikin and the belulus b'shemen are in fact considered two separate korbanos, and therefore you cannot take five from one and five from the other. This is the source of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who agrees with his father that it's unacceptable, and you'd have to bring a new korban. It's unacceptable, and He, however, has a different source. Ask the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda Shapir Kamar Rabbi Shimon. Didn't Rabbi Shimon give a good answer to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Shimon said, the Torah gave you two options, and yet the Torah called both options one korban. That would indicate that I'm right. Either you could bring 10 from one, 10 from the other, or you could bring 5 from each. Amar Lach, so Rabbi Yehuda will answer, no. Kivin Nechsev, Bashemen, Bashemen. Since the Torah twice used the word Shemen, in Vayikra, Beis, Pasuk, Zayin. V'chisakrif korban mincha ma'afetaner. Soilus chalas matzahs belulus b'shemen. So first it says shemen on the chalas matzahs belulus b'shemen. And then it says shemen urikike matzahs meshuchim b'shemen, the wafers that have shemen smeared on top of them. It used the word shemen twice. It could have put it all together. And it could have said minchas ma'afetaner soilus chalas matzahs belulus urikike matzahs meshuchim b'shemen. It could have used the word shemen one time and it would refer to both. Since it used the word shemen two times, keman dechsev korban korbadami, it is as if it did have in the pasuk two korbanas. They are considered two separate korbanas. And that's why you can bring 5 from one and 5 from the other. You're like bringing from two korbanas at the same time. And you haven't fulfilled the requirements of even one korban, because one korban requires 10. Either chalos matzos belulos b'shemen or rekikim, and you're bringing 5 from half from one, half from the other, so you're not yaitze the one korban that you're supposed to bring. That's how Rabbi Yehuda is going to learn this in. So now Rabbi Shimon has to answer back to Rabbi Yehuda. It says shemen two times. It would seem that it is considered as if they are two separate korbanas. Rabbi Shimon, he likes to be shemen. Really, they're one korban. And you could bring 5 from one and 5 from the other. So why does it say twice shemen? If it would have said only one time shemen, have a minute, dafke matzis chalos matzis rekikas. Then I would have thought that you don't have 3 options, you have 1 option. The 1 option is you have to bring everything mixed together by shemen. You have to have 5 rekikin, 5 belulis b'shemen, and that's why I only use the word shemen one time, because it's one korban, and you must bring 5. You don't even have an alternative to bring 10 from one or 10 from the other. You must bring 5 from one together with 5 from the other to make the number 10. That's what I would have thought. Avol chalos l'chadayu, chalos by themselves. Or rekikin l'chadayu, or rekikin by themselves. A maloy, I would say it's not good. Kamash malon, that's why the pasuk got to say shemen shemen. No, it's good if you brought the chalos b'lulis b'shemen. It's good if you brought the rekikin meshuchim b'shemen. It's good 10 of each. But at the end, korban, they're all considered one korban. You could bring 5 from each and still be yaitz according to the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Now, ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yais Rabbi Yehuda Hainavua, what's the chilek between Rabbi Yais Rabbi Yehuda or his father? They each have a different source, but they came to the same halacha. The Gemara says, no, there is a difference. Ikebenaya, di'avad, which is the word di'avad, bidi'avad. What happens if he did it? Does he have to bring a new korban or not? So according to, Rashi explains, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who learns it from the word korban, since the Torah didn't say this limud twice, we know that shana hakasav la'akev. You have to say it twice to show it's li'ikuva, that even b'di'avad, even if you did it after the fact, it's possible. Since here the Torah didn't say this requirement twice, only once, therefore l'chatchila you're supposed to do it, but b'di'avad, after the fact, if you brought 5 from each one, you are yotz according to Rabbi Yehuda. However, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who is learning it out from kol, and he's comparing the first kol to the last kol, just like in the last kol, Rashi brings down that if you bring from one mincha that's supposed to be belulos b'shemen, the other mincha chareva, and you mix it together and you bring it as one mincha, you're not yotz, it's possible. Because it says lo yasma le shemen v'im some pasul. If you put oil on something that's supposed to have chareva, even b'di'evit, it's pasul. So, and since I'm learning out one kol from the other kol, just like by the kol of chareva, which is not supposed to have oil mixed together, if you did mix it, it's pasul. So huadin, if you did mix the rekikim with the b'lulus b'shemen by the ma'afetaner, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, even b'di'evit, after the fact, it would be possible. For all those who have finished this entire perek, hadran aloch kol menachas boitz matzah, hadran aloch kol menachas boitz matzah, hadran aloch kol hamenachas boys' matzah. And now we are ready to begin the next perek, which is called the perek of Rabbi Yishmael. Now, the perek of Rabbi Yishmael, we are now in the 21st day of Svira in the year Tavshin Ayin Aleph, and we are about to embark on learning this perek, which discusses the whole mitzvah of Tziras Omer, which was done on the 16th at night, and the mitzvah of Havos Omer, which was done on the 16th in the daytime, and the mitzvah of Sviras Omer, which even though Bavanasein or Rab, we have no Beis HaMikdash, and we can't do Kitzira or Havos Omer, but the mitzvah of Sviras Omer we still have. And it comes out that during these days of Sviras Omer, all of Klal Yisrael is learning this sixth parak of Menachos through the days of the Sviras Omer, as happens very often, that the daf of Hayomi is connected to the calendar and works in sync with the calendar. Here is one such example. Now, what is interesting to note, as the Melech HaShloimeh, the Pirush HaMishnayos, tells us, that although in our Gemara, the Perek Rabbi Shmuel is the sixth Perek, however, in the Gemaras in the Ksav Yad, and also, if you look at Mishnayos, in the Seder of Mishnayos, this Perek Rabbi Shmuel is really the 10th Perek. It comes after the 9th Perek of Menachos, Perek Shtei Midos. If you look in the Pirush Tveris Yisrael as well, he says that the Seder that we have in Mishnayos, Prokim, Vav Zayin Ches Tes Yud, in our Gemara, is not like that, but rather it's Yud Vav Zayin Ches Tes, which means that the Mishnayos Perek Yud becomes the Gemara's Perek Vav, and the Mishnayos Perek Vav becomes the Gemara's Perek Zayin, and so on. Now this Perek, as we mentioned, discusses the mitzvah of Havos and Tziras Omer, which we find, we're going to give a brief hakdama to understand the background of the Mishnah and the ensuing Gemara. In Vayikra, in Parshas Emor, Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Tes, the Pasuk states, Vaydavar Shem Moshe Lemor, Dabra Avnei Yisroel V'amarta Alem Ki Sovoyu El Oretz Asher Ani Noisin Lachem, Uchtzartem Es Ktsira, Vavesem Es Omer Reishis Ktsira El Akayim. Furthermore, in Pasuk Yud Aleph it states, Vehenef Es Omer Lufnei Hashem, he should wave the Omer, L'Ritzoinchem, Mimachres HaShabbos, two very important words, the day after Shabbos, Yenifenu HaKoyim. So Chazal were mekabel from Moshe Mi-Sinai, that the word Shabbos here does not mean Shabbos, it means Yontif. Why is Yontif called Shabbos? Because on Yontif you have to rest from doing Malacha as well. And after the first day of Pesach, the very next day, which is Tes Zayin, the first day in Eretz Yisrael of Chol HaMoed Pesach, that's when there is a mitzvah to bring the Omer, and the mitzvah of Sviras Omer is connected to the Korban HaOmer. By Sviras Omer, it also says there in that parashim pasuk Tes Vav, Usvartem Lachem, Mimachras HaShabbos, Miyoyim Haviyachem Es Omer HaTznufa Sheva Shabsois. So, Sheva Shabsois. So there as well, it's dependent on Machros HaShabbos. And the Baisusim, who were the Talmidim of, they were together with the Tztukim, Talmidim of Tzadik and Baisus, they went away from Divrei Chazal, and they said that Machros HaShabbos means it always, you start, the Tziras Omer and the Tziras Omer begins from the first day after Shabbos. Now, after the first day of Yontif, the following Shabbos, on the next day, Mimachros HaShabbos, they didn't learn like Chazal, Kabbalah, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that it means Yontif. They learned it means Shabbos. So on Sunday, that's always, they said, a mistaken, an incorrect belief, that you always have to begin, Tziras Omer, and Tziras Omer has to begin on the Sunday following the Shabbos, following the first day of Pesach. And Chazal did many things to show, demonstrate publicly that the Baisusim were wrong. How did the Baisusim come into being? That's based on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perik Aleph Mishnah Gimel, that on Tigdish Ben Tzorech he said, a person should be a Al Tiu Kavanah B'Misham Sarav Amanas L'Kabal Pras, Al Havu Kavanah B'Misham Sarav Shaloy Amanas L'Kabal Pras. You have to serve Hashem not for reward. So the Tzadik and Bais says his Talmidim thought that the Rebbe was saying there is no reward in Olam Haba, so just do work here in this world not to get reward because you're not going to get reward. And they said not to get the reward. That's what the rabbis are saying. We don't believe in the words of the rabbis. And they misconstrued many halachas. And maybe the chief one that we are familiar with is this one here, that Svira and Ksira Soimer begin on the Sunday following Shabbos. And of course, on things, of course, what was meant by Antig Shesoiche was, don't serve Hashem for reward. You'll get reward, but you have to serve Hashem. Your goal should be, Metarch Shaloy Lishma, Bo Lishma. Your goal should be to come to do it altruistically. That's what Antig Shesoiche meant. Let us begin the Perek. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. Rabbi Shmuel said, Oimer Hayabo Bishabish Mishloish Soin Ubechol Mechamish. That the Omer used to come from three so'in is a measurement of grain, of wheat. Actually, it was a korban from so'irim, from barley. It came from three so'in of barley. And in cholin, the weekday, it would come, that was on Shabbos, and the weekday came from five. Now, we find the last Rashi in the Mishnah brings from Shmois Yud Zayin, which apparently is a mistake, because it is actually in Parshas Bishalach Perik Tezayin, the last pasuk in Perik Tezayin, pasuk Lamed Vav, not Perik Yud Zayin, where the pasuk says, as Rashi quotes, that Vaha Oimer Asirus Eifahu. The Oimer was a tenth of an Eifah. An Eifah is three son. So it comes out that when we learned in our Mishnah that on Shabbos they used three son, there was a lot, the barley, the new barley had a lot of parts of it that were not usable for the Minchas Oimer. It had to be sifted, grinded up, and then sifted to remove impurities and the bran and all the flour that was not soilless. And from three soin, which was an eifah, how much did you get after the sifting? There you got an asiris eifah, you got the isoron, which was a tenth of what you started out with. Now, for some reason, as will be explained in the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel's shita is that there's a difference between Shabbos and weekday. Shabbos, you start off with three soin. In the weekday, you start off with five soin. Also, we should be aware that Gimel soin is a total of 43.2 average eggs. And from Rashi says that when you took the three son or the five son in the weekday, according to Rabbi Shmuel, and you sifted it through, Rashi says, "Umanifin mikol son diver maschel ubechoyel ma'at oisei soilas dak hayotzei rishon shumufchar umitziim in hay son isarain dechsev oimer asir seifahu." So from Rashi, the simple reading of the words, it would seem that the first, he says the first flour that's coming out, that's the choice flour that's used for the Korban Ha'omer. But actually, Rashi himself, further in Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, tells us clearly that the first flour that came out was an unacceptable flour. What Rashi means, we have to say, is that as the Gemara will tell us further, there were 13, and the Mishnah says it, that it was sifted with 13 napois. As the Tosfos Yontev on that Mishnah explains, that you started out with the large holes in the sifter to remove the bran, and then you used another 12, a total of 13 different sifters, each one where the mesh was finer than the one before, until you removed all the impurities, all the bran, all the flour dust, all pieces of soilus that clumped together until at the end, the final result, and what Rashi says over here, oisai soilus da kayotze rishon shehu mufkar, he doesn't mean right at the beginning when you started out with the large holes in the mesh. He means at the end of the process of 13 siftings, then finally the first flour that comes out right then at the end, that is the choicest flour, which in the weekday you got from 5 so'an to start with, and for some reason on Shabbos you have to begin with 3. We'll see in the Gemara the reason for this. Rab Chanina Chachamim Oimrim, the second line of the Mishnah, Echad Shabbos v'Echad Chol Mishalosh Hayubah. No, there's no difference between Shabbos and weekday. You always start out with 3 so'an. You wind out with Asiris HaEifer. Rab Chanina Skana Kahanim Oimer, B'Shabbos HaYinikser B'Yachid. On Shabbos, you used to harvest it with one person used to do it. Ubemagel achas with one sickle. Ubekupa achas used to put into one basket. Ubecholim the weekday bishalisha with 3 people. Bishalish kupas with 3 baskets. Bishalish magalis and 3 sickles. V'chachamim oimrim echad Shabbos v'echad chol bishalisha makes a different Shabbos or the weekday. It's always 3 people. Bishalish kupas 3 baskets. Bishalish magalis and 3 sickles. Rashi. The last line of the Rashi on the Mishnah says, "Begimel magolis lefarsem hadover mipnei abayt susin," that this the 3 was used as a piercer, to that they could have done it with one. The one person could have worked hard to do all the melachos that were necessary, as the second last line of Rashi tells us. What are those melachos? In the Divrei Amasel va'al yarbe machlokes harbe. The Malachas Harbe, She Yiktzer, he has to cut it down. The Yizra, he has to winnow it. The Yivra and select. Take out the Psoilus. The Yitchan and grind it. The Yirakit and sift it. All those Malachas were done by 3 people in the weekday. There's a Machloikis here. What about Shabbos? So according to Rab Chanina Skana Kahanim, only one person did it on Shabbos. And according to Rabban, 3 people did it. Now, Midaraisa, as far we know that the Ktsiris Oimer and the Havos Oimer was Doiche Shabbos. So Midaraisa, there's really no difference whether 3 people do all these malachas or one person works harder and does all these malachas. It's the same amount of Chil Shabbos, and we're going to permit it. However, the Machlokas, the way the Shagas Aryeh explains, could be one of 2 ways. Rav Yishmol Shita is that on Shabbos we midrabbanan, the rabbanan were sensitive to the bezoyin of Shabbos, even though you're doing a mitzvah of tzirus oimer, but they said if 3 people are going to do it, yes, positive purpose, lefarsim, the more people are involved, there'll be more piercing against the baisusim, that it's not what you say Sunday, but rather it's the 16th day of Nisan, the first day of Chol HaMoed, the day after the first day of Yontav, which is on Tezvav Nisan. So by one person doing it, there's not as much piercing, there's not as much public knowledge that the Baisusim were wrong. But it's coming at the expense of many people, 3 people, being Mechal Shabbos for it. So therefore, Rav Chanina, Skana Kohanim's opinion was that we'll sacrifice the Chil Shabbos, we'll sacrifice the piercing, and Mirabbanan, the Rabbanan said, it looks worse if 3 people are doing malachas than 1 person, and it's not worth it even for the piersim to advertise that the Baisusim were wrong. So the Rabbanan either says the Shagas Aryeh, and there are enough geminas in the Shagas Aryeh, which way you learn. The Rabbanan either hold that the Rabbanan never made such an exera that it should be worse 3 people doing malachas, less malachas as opposed to 1 person doing more malachas. It's the same amount of malachas that are being done. So that's one way to look at it. Or, yes, there is a difference. It looks worse if 3 people are doing it. However, the Chachamim hold against Rav Chanina Skana Kahanim, they hold for reasons of piercing, it is better to use the 3 even on Shabbos. And the Rabbanan, therefore, were not geyser this there, even though they would have been geyser it, but the piercing outweighs that gzeiros. So says the Shargis Ari. There are two ways to learn. Begins the Gemara. Bishlam Rabbanan Kasavri. We understand the Rabbanan very well. Isorin Mufcher Bishloishan. How do we get this choice after the 13 Napois? You get this finest flower with three son Asi. Veloishan Abachar. Veloishan Abishabbos. So since on Shabbos you can be Doiche Shabbos. And we get the fine flour with three, so we do it, whether it's the weekday, whether it's Shabbos, we start out with three sorin, we wind up with isorin. Elo, Rabbi Yishmol, Mike Sover, we don't understand Rabbi Yishmol. Ike Sover, isorin, mufcher, loy, ase, elam, mechamish, if he holds that a good isorin only comes from five, afilah, b'Shabbos, nami. So if you need five, if that's what he disagrees with the Rabbanan, so then you should do it on weekday, you should do it on Shabbos, as Rashi says, because since we're doiche Shabbos for the mitzvah of Ktziras Omer, so therefore, if five gets you what you want, do it on Shabbos also. Imi shalosh asi, afilu b'chal nami. And if you only, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you only need three, if he agrees to the Rabbanan, that three does the trick, so then why on b'chal do you use five? Maman of Shach, we don't understand Rabbi Shmuel then. Amar Rava. So Rava answered, Kesav Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is as follows. Isorin mufcher b'loy tircha asim chamish. You can get choice flour without a lot of work with five. So, b'tircha. If you're going to use a lot of sifting, then you can get it from three. And what does a lot of sifting mean? It doesn't mean you're going to go and use more than 13 napois. The amount of napois remained the same. But at each stage of the napois, you'll sift it more times at each stage. But if you could do it with a lot of tircha at each stage, and you'll wind up with that, if it betircha asim mishalish, you can come with three. You don't need five. However, bechoyol ma'isinim mechamish. So in the week that Rabbi Shmuel Shita is, you bring it from five. The hachi shvicha milsa, because that is better, as Rashi explains. Because the choicest flour comes from the first, after the 13 napois, the first flour that comes out, that's the choicest flour. So here I have five saw that each one, each saw is producing another fifth of the choicest flour. I'm getting five sources for the choicest flour. That's better. By three, if I do a lot of work, I'll get adequate choice flour, but even with a lot of work, it will not come to the five choice flours that I can get from the five sort. So, says Rabbi Shmuel, b'Shabbos mutav she'yarba b'melacha achas b'harkada, it's better that he should only use three sort, and I'll have to use extra sifting at each of the 13 levels of the napois over and over again. Until he gets adequate fine flour, val yirbe yarbe b'malachos harbe. His sheet of Rabbi Shmuel is that he shouldn't, just similar to what we had before from Rabbi Chanina ben Skana Kohanim, that more people doing work is, even though it's going to be the same amount of work, that's worse than one person doing a lot of work. So too here, it's worse in the eyes of Rabbi Shmuel to do melachis harbe, and here's that Rashi that we learned before, because he's going to have to do tzira and zora and bora and tochet and meraket on two new son. He's going to have to do all those melachis. That will look more desecration of Shabbos than if he just does one melacha constantly over and over again, the same melacha of harkada of sifting. That looks like less chul Shabbos, even though in the amount of melacha might be the same. Again, it's the middle Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say one looks worse than the other. Rabbi Shmuel holds that even though you're going to gain an advantage by five, by doing the two son of more melachas, because you from five sources of five son, you're going to get more choice flour, but I can get adequate flour with three. And it perception-wise, I'm not doing so many new melachas. I'm only doing merakeh. Rabbi Shmuel says, I'll go with the three son. The Rabbanan say, there's no difference. Either they hold that the Rabbanan never made such a gezerah, or that they hold that for the pirsum, we don't care. They're not machalic. They're not machalic between three and five. If Shabbos, it's mutter, then they hold themselves, you don't need five. They know that three does the trick on Shabbos and on Chol. But they don't say on Shabbos to only use two or two and a half. No, whatever you need in the Chol to produce it, that's the exact same thing I do on Shabbos. I don't try to do with less. However, Rabbi Shmuel says, optimally, I should do it with five. I'll get the most choice. I can get an adequate supply with three, and it looks like I'm doing less malachas. The Rabbanan said, stay with one malacha rather than using two new son with more malachas, and we're not concerned about the advantage of the flour. We're more concerned about the perception of Chil Shabbos, and that's why Rabbi Shmuel is mechalik between five and three.